all on Yom Kippur, but it also happens to be on this, the 23rd of September, our 31st anniversary as a church. We were born our first Sunday service, yeah. And even more important to me, my mom's birthday. And she's home and watching, so happy birthday, Mom, again. 84. She's 84. She prayed me into the kingdom, so everything of God that flows from that. Can we sing to her? Yeah, we'll sing to you. Mom, we're singing to you. Everybody stand up and look at the camera and happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mom. Happy birthday to you. Thank you, Mom. You are the best. All right, you can be seated. So, I want to do, in a very short amount of time, I want to talk about Jubilee, because the significance of this year is that in the Hebraic calendar, it's being recognized as indeed a Jubilee year. So, and that was a set time that happened every 50th year. So it's going to have a sound and a significance. For us, it's our namesake. And in the last 2 years, we've been practicing the whole idea of the sound of Jubilee, even forming Liberty Teams. And we will send our next Liberty Team to Israel in October, which is first fruits for this year of Jubilee. And it ought to be, because it's everything in the gospel is to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. So it's just perfect the way that's happening. But in this year, it's originated in the Father's heart, and it's a dream that then was matured and manifested in Jesus' life. So I want to let you see where you can go into the Bible and get, you know, let it grow in you, because it's all about freedom. It's all about liberty. It's about restoration of yourself and freedom into your inheritance and into your family. It's just the best year. It's called the acceptable year. It's the year God likes. Then I want to talk about the struggle to sustain liberty, because I think to obtain liberty is not that hard. Sustaining liberty is a challenge. I want to take you to one story in the Bible. It's just the most fascinating chapter to this day about liberty and the loss of it. Then I want to take you to what I believe is part of what we're going to cultivate. We've shared it already with our interns and leaders, that part of how we might sustain liberty, what we might do as individuals and as we might be as a company, because this isn't about an event to celebrate, and because we are already named after Jubilee, it's not a hard stretch for us to go here. But I do want to believe that we can intentionally and consciously hold that sound for a year, mature that sound during the year, grow it out, spread it out, send it out, and let it really become the sound that the earth needs to hear so desperately. So Leviticus 25, 9 and 10. This is when it was first, God introduced this idea. And I'm going to read, I'll begin in verse 8. You shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself. 7 times 7 years, and you at that, and the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. So 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. So today is the day of the launching of the Day of Jubilee. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possessions, and each of you shall return to his family. So I want to take my Strong's Concordance and take you through a few words that I think will bless you, because first off, when we come to verse 9, it says, you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee. That's the word shofar in the Hebrew, and that's why we call those funny-looking ram's horns shofars, because that's the Hebrew word for it. It's the trumpet. But then the word jubilee, you shall cause the trumpet of the jubilee, is a te'ua, and it means clamor. That is an acclamation of joy or a battle cry, especially clangor of trumpets and as an alarm. So it is this bursting sound, and that's what this trumpet of Jubilee was to release. Now, from that sound, the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the earth, on the 10th day, is the word sound is to cross over. So if you let the word give you a sense of imagery, the freedom of the blast of the sound was to cause it to cross over. And we're crossing over into liberty. It says that this, you shall make the trumpet sound. Seventh month, day of atonement, you make the trumpet sound throughout all the land. Throughout all the land is like this was going to begin at the sound of, but it was going to continually be declared and throughout the land for that whole year. It was a year of Jubilee. And you shall proclaim, which is an interesting word. It means, again, the idea of crossing over. So you're trying, we're wanting a new reality, a new mindset, a new experience for everyone, crossing over. Liberty. Now, this word is so cool. It is the word deror, and it comes from an unused root today or back then, meaning to move rapidly. Freedom, hence spontaneity of outflow, and so clear. One of the things that you can imagine in any case, whether it was a water dammed up or a well stopped up, when the bursting comes forth, it frees, it happens rapidly, it's spontaneous, it's suddenly, and with it, it brings brand new clarity. And one thing I've learned in the Bible is hilarity brings clarity. When you're full of joy, you can see better than when you're not full of joy. So he goes on, and I think there's one more verse, because then it goes on and talks about the trumpet sound throughout all the land and the jubilee. And it's always hard to teach from this. I can spend a lot of time with God, but he's not asking me to tell him anything he doesn't already know. So no pressure. You got to get one of these apps, man. The Bible app and a Strong's Concordance, and you can have an encounter with God anywhere. I mean, it's just the greatest thing in the world. $2, it's worth it. I don't get any money from it. Proclaim liberty, you shall return. Okay, so then you're going around and declaring this liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants. So the first aspect of Jubilee was freedom. If you were a slave, if you didn't pay your debts, you had to sell yourself. First you sold your stuff, then you sold your kids, and then last you sold you. That's how you paid off your debt. But every debt would be canceled at the end of 49 years, and the year of Jubilee, everything would be restored. All the land that Israel owned was not the land that they obtained by their own effort. It was given to them before they crossed the Jordan by God as an inheritance. Yes, they warred. Yes, they claimed it. Yes, they possessed it. But it was allocated by God by promise. So that if in my lifetime, my inheritance, I lost my inheritance, and it went to another tribe, at the 49th year or the 50th year, everything would return to the original tribes, to the original family members. So Jubilee is not coming back to zero. It's coming back to wealth. So remember that. That's God never brings us back to zero. He only knows how to double whatever we lost at the minimum. So the mindset, the acceptable year was you'd come back, you would be freed, you'd come back to your possessions, which is your inheritance, and you would return to your family. So if your children had been indentured, if they had been sold and scattered, there would be a returning of family, returning of inheritance, returning of freedom. And this was supposed to be proclaimed, and that was the one word I wanted to give you, the word proclaim. Proclaim. Oh, it's the same. No, it's through the idea of accosting. It's the word kara, and it means through the idea of accosting a person met. to call out. So it's like you're wanting to make sure somebody's got this freedom. You know, have you heard? Have you heard that Jesus has been raised from the dead? It's this lively, life-giving sound and freedom. And could you imagine if you were like a year or two away from Jubilee and you were that slave who did not have his family inheritance, whose children were separated, and could you imagine wanting that sound to be heard and looking forward to that, that day's coming? And then when the sound is heard, it was so important that the sound continued, that it didn't just get heard and forgotten or kept to the ones who heard it and enjoyed it, but it was supposed to be spread through the land until every person was free. Now, just to give you New Testament imagery and what does that feel like, go to Isaiah 61 and Luke 4. Just, again, these are places you can take some time. You'll enjoy it. It's well worth it. Isaiah 61, all the way through verse 7 would be, well, I think very much descriptive of this year, but we'll read the verses that we're familiar with. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Wow. You know, the acceptable year of the Lord is the year of Jubilee. And so whenever you hear that, it'll take you back in your references back to Leviticus 25, 9 and 10. So in that acceptable year of the Lord, the Holy Spirit was coming to release, to bring good news to the poor, to release the captives, to recovery of sight, to heal the brokenhearted, and to begin to just bring that liberty, that freedom that was God's intended inheritance given to creation and now recovered by Holy Spirit, and in our case, Jesus. Because look at Luke 4. Jesus comes out of the wilderness being tempted. Now he's coming back in the power of the Holy Spirit, comes to his home synagogue in Nazareth, and he gets the book, and he finds Isaiah 61, and he reads what I just read. And so we see that in Luke 4, verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So he taught out of that scripture, began to say, and the essence of what he said is, "I am your Jubilee. I am the Messiah. I am the answer of all liberty. I bring all freedom. I restore all things. I open all prison doors. I open all blind eyes. Today, the scriptures fulfill." And you would have thought that everybody would rush forward to take hold of that truth. But because they had familiarity with the Jesus that grew up in the place, they marveled at how wonderfully he spoke, but they couldn't transition with the new Jesus that was now coming under the anointing and under the calling he was. So they ended up getting really offended and wanted to throw him off the cliff. Unbelief is like that. It just kind of, it can get very violent. And I say that because often right before I get really free, I get very hostile to the freedom that's coming at me. In other words, I'm not like going, hey, I just want freedom. I'm kind of like, I don't need any freedom. What are you talking about? Who are you talking about? I've not ever been bound. There's no trouble with me going on. I almost become like resistant to the sound. That's when Jesus said in John 8, he said, if you continue in my word, you are really my disciples, and you're going to know truth, and the truth will make you free. And what did they say? We've never been bound. We've never been slaves to anybody. They were up to their neck in bondage and owned and controlled by Rome and massively. But it's just something about the human nature that's shame-filled and blamed and condemned and just very self-conscious that we know intuitively or instinctively we say no to somebody pointing out that we need something. Right? I'm all for a jubilee all year long for me. I need liberty and encounters and transformation, and I want my broken heart to be healed, my bruised heart to be made well. I want the prison doors to be open. I want to be escorted outside the prison gates. I want to hear good sounds that I've never heard before. I want to walk in that liberty. So I long ago gave up the idea that being saved meant I had to act like I was saved. I am saved, and I need to become saved, and I can't act saved. Act saved means I usually just act like something I'm not. But if I can come to God with what I am and receive what His Son did to take care of what I'm not, I can actually become what He is. So I'm not worried about being caught needing Jesus. You know, God forbid that Christians should need Jesus now. But we live that way. And we get all bound up. And so we kind of get all these attitudes. But let's just let go of that for a moment. And now let's go to this idea of, let's say, which is so clear, Jesus is Jubilee. Spirit of God is the one who administrates or activates the sound of Jubilee, and is us who receive it to communicate it and broadcast it until it captures everybody into freedom. It is raucous, it is loud, it is joy-filled, it's celebratory, it's breaking forth, it's sudden, it's brilliant. And when it hits, it really shifts, and you go, whoa. And it would be like living as somebody's slave, and now you're a free man, but not just a free man with no place to go. You have a home to go back to and an inheritance that's waiting for you. That's huge. And we got to shift that way. We got to think you have an inheritance in Christ before you were even conceived in your mother's womb. So we're not just getting saved to start over. We're getting saved to come into our redemption, our inheritance. So when it happens, and I want to, you know, well, let's just go on because I'll run out of time. Go with me to Jeremiah. I'm going to take you to Jeremiah 34. Just so you know, and don't feel bad about how little we've been able to maintain freedom, there is no record in the Bible that Israel ever did jubilee. There's no record of a recorded jubilee in the book of the Chronicles or of the Kings or of the Judges. It is not recorded anywhere that they actually celebrate. We do have records of Passover. We do have records of the Feast of Tabernacles. We do have records of those events. But we do not have a recorded celebration of Jubilee, so we don't know. We know that the reason God came up with the number 70 for Israel to have to stay in Babylon and exile was because they had neglected 70 years of Sabbaths. So they wanted, God said, we're going to let the land rest since you wouldn't rest it every 6 years for a seventh year. We're just going to do it for you while you're gone. So it tends to make me think that it wasn't really ever practiced. And I have a real reason why. I know coming into liberty is easy. Sustaining liberty is really difficult. And let me show you this story. And we're going to begin in Jeremiah 34, verse 8. And right at this moment, Jerusalem has been under siege of Nebuchadnezzar. And all of the prophetic sound has been, this city's given over to Nebuchadnezzar, and it's over. But for some reason, Nebuchadnezzar has left the siege, and the city has a moment of a breather. And in this moment, something took hold of the elders. And we're going to hear about it, and then we're going to see what happened. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after King Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people who were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty to them, that every man should set free his male and female slave, a Hebrew man or a woman, that no one should keep a Jewish brother in bondage. Now, when all the princes and all the people who had entered into covenant heard that everyone should set free his male and female slaves, that no one should keep them in bondage anymore, they obeyed and let them go. And the whole imagery of that letting person go is to give them the freedom to go whatever way they want to go, to be no longer under constraint, no longer under obligation or expectation. We as Christians often don't forgive freely. We forgive conditionally. I will forgive you for what you do, but just don't do that to me again. I will forgive you so that you can start over, so that you can fulfill the plan I have for you. That's not forgiveness. That's just nice control. It's cute. But it's not freedom. Freedom is you're free to go do whatever you want to do. I release you. I have no say over your life. I release you. I love you. I let you go. Go forth into your liberty how you choose. That is what God has done for me and you. So he asks of no less from us to one another. But because we feel like I'm afraid if I let you go do what you want to do, you're going to do something that's really bad and going to really hurt you. So I don't want you to do that. So I'm going to let you do only what's good for you. So it's conditional forgiveness, which is not the same as freedom. And eventually, whoever you control not to do something, they'll find a way to do it. So it really is useless work. That's why God did not put a barbed wire fence around the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He just knew we had to eat it. And then we'd discover the one who loves us, and the love that we would discover, we would learn, we would grow in a relationship that life was greater than knowledge, love was greater than what we could achieve, and it was going to be a better than had we never ate. But let's continue on. It says, but afterward they changed their minds and made the male and female slaves return, whom they had set free, and brought them into subjection as male and female slaves. So they reconsidered their decision, changed their mind, and put the people they had freed back into captivity. That's what I'm talking about, the sustaining a jubilee sound. How it's hard to keep people free or allow people to stay free. Therefore, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. This language is, it's insightful of God. I made a covenant with your fathers in that day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage, saying, at the end of 7 years, let every man set his Hebrew brother who had been sold to him, and when he had served you 6 years, you should let him go free from you. But your fathers did not obey me nor incline their voice. See, the Jubilee was the restoration of inheritance and property, and there would have been already 6 other freedoms from slavery. That's why we have that 7-year cycle on bankruptcy. It's just a Judaic principle that, you know, after 7 years you could do it again, because that's, you could get yourself into captivity, but after 6 years you could be free. Then he said, you recently turned and did what was right in my sight. Turned, they thought enough of their way, did it not. And every man proclaiming liberty to his neighbor, and you made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. Then you turned around and profaned my name, and every one of you brought back his male and female slaves whom you'd set at liberty at their pleasure and brought them back into subjection to be your male and female slaves. You feel the tone of the Father? Therefore, thus says the Lord, you have not obeyed me in proclaiming liberty, everyone to his brother and everyone to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim liberty to you, says the Lord, to the sword, to pestilence, and to famine. And I'll deliver you to trouble among all the kingdoms of the earth. And I will give the men who have transgressed my covenant, who have not performed the words of the covenant they made before me, when they cut the calf in two and passed between the parts of it. the princes of Judah, the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs and the priests, and all the people of the land who passed between the parts of the camp. I'll give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of those who seek their life, and their dead bodies shall be for meat for the birds of the heaven and the beasts of the earth. And I will give Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes into the hand of their enemies, into the hand of those who seek their life, into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which has gone back from you. Behold, I will command, says the Lord, and cause them to return to this city. They will fight against it and take it and burn it with fire, and I'll make the cities of Judah a desolation without inhabitant. Two things I get from the tone of the father's voice. Obviously, he wasn't pleased, but he was actually amazed at what they had done. And had they held what they had done, the whole outcome of the situation with Babylon might have changed. It was not set in stone that they had to go out into exile, even though the prophetic word said they were going. Their liberating their brothers and sisters had so touched the heart of the father that it had set him in one direction. And then when they retracted their forgiveness, their liberty, it set God in a determined place to the course he had already had resolved was the only course they could follow, which was to fully be enveloped in their captivity they were choosing over him. But think of what might have happened. I call that the revival that might have happened. The restoration, the reformation that might have happened. Think of the idea of how powerful forgiveness is, and to forgive and release those who owe you personally. For us as believers, a lot of times it's expectations. It's things we had thought someone should have done. It's promises that people made they didn't keep. It's attitudes and actions that they've exhibited that have hurt us. And we just have a cautious control in our forgiveness. And if we really were to release somebody, that means we really sent them free to go at their liberty to do whatever they want next, including come back and hurt us, which is a crazy concept of scary freedom. Now, let's just move it past people that are trying to hurt each other and need to be, restrained. Let's just talk about believers growing up in the church, and we want to love God and live in his freedom and become all we want. And we all suffer the struggles of life. We all get setbacks. We all see certain people elevated, us getting put back, us elevated, someone jealous and trying to pull us down. And we live in the carnality and the humanity, and we just find ourselves, for whatever reason and all those reasons, bound and just not enjoying ourselves, not having a happy day. And yet God's heart was, in Galatians 5, it says, it was for freedom that Christ set you free. Don't be entangled again in a yoke of bondage. And I have to say, bondage here is not sin, destructive sin patterns. It's the law. It's going back to a law that brings life instead of Christ who gave us life. And he goes on to say, if you become circumcised, if you come into that law, then you, Christ will become of no value to you. And I know what it feels like to live lives, seasons where everything is about trying to hold the things that I've discerned are what God's asking of me, to the point that that's where my focus is, on the things and on me. And Jesus is of really no consequence. He got me in the kingdom. It's up to me to stay here. So it's subtle, but once it's on you, it really locks you up. It says you fell from grace. So you're living in a substandard Christian life, a substandard Christian life. You're not enjoying the fruit. You're not. You just went backwards. You went backwards instead of forwards. In 2 Corinthians 3, it says that when a man turns to Christ, the veil's taken away from him. And then it says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so the things that I'm endeavoring to do for myself personally, and because it's really, I don't think there's a way you can create freedom from humans, because the nature of humans are to give freedom where it supports me and restrict freedom where it threatens me, right? Whether it's communism or any other ideology, it is, or materialism or capitalism, it is about liberty to protect myself and to be protected from you. So it's kind of a, it brings the best out and the worst out of man. So what I have discovered, and Jesus taught this simply, he said that when a demon is driven out of a man, it is the finger of God, it is the Holy Spirit's power that does that miracle. It is the Holy Spirit's power. And if that demon is expelled and nothing holds the place where it once held, then it will gather seven more of its friends and return and make the state of the man seven times worse than it had been prior to the first exodus of that evil spirit. And the principle simply is that whatever liberates you must become the occupying force within you. If you are liberated by the Holy Spirit, then you must stay full of the Holy Spirit to enjoy freedom. Otherwise, you will go back into some form of mental ascent, legalistic practice, observance of the law, trying to be good, under pressure, aware that we don't have a grid for people in trouble and struggles. So we don't ever allow anyone to see our troubles and struggles, because God forbid, if I tell you I'm a trouble and a struggle, I'm going to get 15 steps to get free and 5 days to do it. Pressure, right? Has anybody ever had that? But on the flip side, if we were really in this liberated state, the Holy Spirit started the church in a party, and everybody thought they were drunk with a new kind of wine. And that expressiveness, see, for me, freedom is not being self-conscious. It's being God-conscious. It's being settled in my place that Jesus prepared for me, enjoying it by the power and wonder of the Holy Spirit. And I can laugh, I can cry, I can be touched, I can be influenced. I'm not holding any massive standard that I've got to guard and watch over. I just stay in a union and communion and fellowship and fun. And God is really fun. I mean, seriously, he won the war. There's nothing more he has to do. The place is already his. He has got all authority. He's got the keys, hell and the grave. He trampled over the devil, made him a useless item, has no say over anything unless he uses it for his good. And he made us to be kings and priests with him, to reign with him, to play with him, to enjoy him. And we get all caught up in this captivity, and we're not in that inheritance of enjoyment, which is this freedom. Freedom that he came to make us free. Make us free to be free and to make others free and to give freedom away. So what I've been practicing since about May is this awareness that I've got to continue to be influenced by the one who liberated me. I have to encounter him to the point where I am as liberated as I was the day I got liberated. So I try to enter into an encounter with the Lord every day to get as free as I've been any day that I've ever been free. And that makes me disengage from my self-consciousness, my issues. It makes me forgive everything and everyone over again and always. And it makes me get caught up in this glorious place of freedom. And beloved, I want to say this to you. You can't solve your problems and then get free. It's impossible. It is a lie from hell that's telling you and me, get your life in order, then you'll know freedom. No, freedom never came to people in order. I mean, let's think about it. It's liberation. So you got to have a problem to be free. You got to be stuck in something to be made free. You got to be blind in order to see. If you already see, then like Jesus said, then you have a greater sin because you already say you see. So I've been practicing for myself this. I have to disengage from every form of captivity as a current control over me and my attitude and my enjoyment of the day and Jesus. And if I can encounter the Lord, then I start giving liberty to everybody else. I start being free. I watch the Pope on the Pope Mobile and I start crying. know, again, you know, people have all kinds of troubles. But I just start crying because I just get touched with anything. I watch a movie. Just sweet. It's just, I'm not bound to any of the hullabaloo that's on the static on the earth. I don't even care anymore because it didn't seem to matter to Jesus. Nobody stopped him from just walking through the earth and doing what he wanted. No one stopped the church from being exploded when it was born in the most religious point of the world. There's something about Holy Spirit liberating and a catalyst of enough people liberated that you can start changing culture. But we've got to be that people. We've got to start with, make me that liberated one. Make me the subject of your freedom. I want you to come, pull me out of the place I'm at. Acts 2, the church starts in a party. Acts 15, the church leads courageously when the Gentiles are coming into the church and says, we will not make the Gentiles become Jews to be a Christian. That is not what this was all about. They can be a Christian and never be a Jew. They do not have to be a Christian or Jew to be a Christian. No circumcision required. But then Paul shows up a few years later in Acts 21, and the pressure of this observant, zealous, believing Jews for the law has now eclipsed the government of the church. And when Paul arrives, it is the James and the elders, they give advice that we want you to do something for us. You can see right now, we have a large body of zealous believers for the law. And they've heard you come. And they hear all the rumors about your, you know, excesses of freedom. So what we want you to do is, we've got four men over here, and they've taken a vow. We want you to pay their expenses, and we want you to enter into the vow. We want you to shave your heads and go into the temple. And then everybody's going to see that by your observance of the law, that everything that they're hearing about you, this excessive freedom, is not true. That is like Holy Spirit's, you know, not being consulted. That is, how about if we conform to captivity so that nobody will get angry? Well, you know what happened, right? He got inside there, and some Asian Jews from Asia who were this conflict already with Paul see Paul, and they make an assumption that the men that are Israelis who live in Jerusalem are actually Asians. See, it's something about when you shave your head, nobody can tell who you are. I mean, some of us, but it would be very easy to make the assumption. And the assumption leads to a riot, and it puts Paul into a prison, and he's locked up for 3 years, shut down. I mean, the whole thing is, but it didn't stop God. He just said, it's time for you to start writing. but think about that. Think about, I'll close this, I promise. I said to our leaders last night, our leadership school, I said, the greatest thing that you have to know is the freedom that you have to hold that freedom before the Lord. Never impose it on someone, and just to enjoy it with God. And then you have to know what your calling is, and you have to be aware of the group you're with, and you have to know what it is God's asking you to do with your moment you're at. I said, the Apostle Paul, when he came forth as the Apostle of Grace, when he was early on, and there was a lot of pressure that this is not acceptable gospel, I had before the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15, they wanted everybody who got saved and became a Christian to become circumcised. So he was just like adamant, we are not going backwards. He brought a young disciple in who became one of his sons, Titus, who was a Greek, or I think he was Greek, but he refused to let him be circumcised because we're not going that way. And there are points in time when you are in a holding place of liberty. You have to just get violent about, I'm going to stay free. I'm not saying be obnoxious. I'm not saying put it on anybody else. I'm saying hold your place. If God says to you, you get a happy, and I want you happy every day, and I want you to live in my joy, and I don't care how bad your life is, get into joy. And then you get with people, and don't go tell them that's what you're doing. Just do it. Good advice. Don't tell anybody what you're doing. That's your consecration. You'll die because of that. Don't let people know what God's telling you to do, but just do it. But then hold that place until it is a sustained place of freedom. Then you don't have to be as focused on, I'm sorry, I can't go into that. I'm not doing that. My God has told me to disengage from that feeling. I'm not going that way. Because later, when Paul's a little older, he brings a new disciple into his service, which is named Timothy. And Timothy's mom's a Jew, dad's a Greek. And he goes and he himself personally circumcises Timothy because he probably saw that, you know, we'd have more access to more hearts if we just go this way. So Paul grew in his freedom to be able to be more gracious. And obviously he said, okay, fine, I'll go in. We'll shave my head. We'll pay the vow. I'm fine with that. I can live in that. I value that. I'm not opposed to it. I'm not fighting it. Was never the battle that God came to fight. He didn't come to fight the law. He came to liberate people. So we'll go with that. And when he's sucked into a prison sentence, he doesn't go, oh no, my life now has just been shortchanged. He just says, I've become now a new title. I'm a prisoner for Christ. You see, liberty is so powerful that you can be free anywhere. You can be free in a bad marriage. You can be free in a bad job. You can be free in a bad situation. You can get so free that your freedom starts to be something you carry and you start to project and you start to liberate. That's the sound, I believe, what the sound of liberty. It's not a code. It's not a new ethic. It's not a new we don't do this and we can do that and we want to do this and we won't ever do. That can be, for an individual, something we have to focus on. But for a people, real liberty is that we make people comfortable. And a sinner is in our house and they enjoy our company just as much as another brother from church. Because we're not intimidated by their sin. It's not the issue we're trying to change. We know God's after their heart. He's after hearts. He's going to, and I prophesy this to you, he's going to set people free from the inside out. He's going to rock people's world. And they're going to come face to face with Jesus Christ. And he's going to say, why are you fighting against me? You're kicking against the course of your life. You're going the opposite direction I called you to. Get up. Let's get going to our new future. And they're going to come. And we're going to be amazed. They're going to amaze us. And if we've got our junk on us, we're going to sit there and be just like the same group. Well, you got to, you know, da-da-da-da. You got to da-da-da-da. And you got to da-da-da-da. And you got to da-da-da-da. No! If God sets somebody free from the inside out, let him do the rest of the work. We don't need to prescribe what freedom looks like from the outside. Because the truth be known, most Christians that I know are not very free. Because they're all, not you guys, you're all free. Don't, you know. I just felt that like... But we take ourselves too seriously. We're so focused. We're so, It's supposed to be, the church started with a party, and it's the end of Revelations, it's a wedding feast. I mean, party, party, party. So let's stand up for a minute. Let's close. I felt it was the Lord to teach enough that we could build a place to grow and develop. So that's why I did that. Because again, I've been in some of the wildest parties in this house, right? Yeah, you got a word?
Yeah, I just wanted to put in practical image of what you're just saying, something that happened that kind of encapsulates all your teaching today and a real life experience thing. So I felt the Holy Spirit. So what I want leading me to say this. So I think you guys, when I spoke here in January, heard about my story about three vice presidents, an unholy trinity that came against me, and one of them was the president of her company. She left today to go to another company after 3 years. Now, I want to say something that when that happened, I went to her going away thing today. And let me just tell you, you were talking about freedom. That's why I want to share this. Because when somebody comes against you and you feel that it's totally been unjustified, it's real easy to be in a position of saying, God's vindicating me, and therefore he, you know, I'm in a place of rightness and they're in a place of wrongness. So when I saw the card, that she had. That they, her going away card, so to speak. Some people were very rejoicing that she's leaving because the company sales have gone down. Things have changed a lot. But I wrote on her card because the Lord truly put this in my heart. This is talking about getting free and getting liberty. So I said, Lisa, wish you the best in your new position in Arlington, Virginia. And then I gave her the scripture, the Aaronic blessing that God gave over Israel. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine. To shine upon you. May he lift his countenance, his face, a favor upon you, and give you peace. Now, after I wrote that, I saw her at the going away thing today, and I said, she came up to me. I could see that. You have to understand the circumstances. When she came against me, she came in a big room with a lot of people. She sat next to me on end cap of a table. And she sat next to me. She's a vice president. I'm a contracts manager. She's way above me in rank. And I simply leaned over to compliment her about a proposal, a $50 million proposal we were working on. And I leaned over and touched her arm. And she didn't think that was appropriate. Later, she made another comment. I leaned over and complimented her again after she made the comment. One of the HR heads said, when she said, well, that made me uncomfortable, said she didn't like I was having Bible study. She said, you ought to write him up. And when she wrote me up, she realized it was not a very strong case against me, so she got a bunch of other people to say other things too that were proven to be wrong also. But when she came over to me today, I realized that I had the victory first. And you said that freedom makes people feel comfortable. So I said, please read what I said on the card because it comes from my heart. And she looked at me and she said, Peter, I just want to thank you. You've always been such a hard worker in the contracts group. And I said, well, thank you. You've been really kind to us because since that incident happened and God vindicated me with the rebuttal I had and other things that happened, she has changed her tone totally towards me. But when I went, when I was driving home, the Lord spoke to me. The liberty is this: blessed are the peacemakers.
Hallelujah.
For they are the sons of God.
Yeah.
And he said, in the same way that it is more blessed to give than to receive. He said, it is more blessed to forgive than receive forgiveness.
Yeah.
It is more blessed to give forgiveness than to receive forgiveness. I want to say it again. It is more blessed to give forgiveness because you're free, the liberty you're talking about. So we're walking in liberty. I was waiting on the Lord last night, and he said, I'm going to set you into a whole new place of liberty. And the whole body, I'm bringing liberty. I am bringing liberty to the United States of America. The rain was coming. The Lord spoke to me when I was here in January that it was going to rain in the months of April, May, June, July, some in August. He said, small rains to show not that I'm going to bless America because they deserve to be blessed, but because I'm going to simply, out of mercy, bring rain because I want to do a fresh new thing in the United States of America again. And Ezekiel was the same way. They were practicing idolatry. And he spoke to the people in the book of Ezekiel, I'm going to bring a fresh new revival in the land, not because you deserve it. You've been idolatrous, but because of my mercy.
Yeah.
And so And so this happened today, and when I drove out of there, I could see she was totally set free, because when we had eye contact, she knew that I had forgiven her.
Yeah.
And I was at liberty. I was able to comfort her because I was free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is more blessed to forgive than it is to receive forgiveness.
What? Yeah. Well, let's receive that. This is our closing. This is the sound of the Jubilee. Let it come forth. Would you pray and declare it?
Thank you, Father. We praise you. We praise you, Lord, and I thank you for the release of a new reign of liberty upon the land. Release the reign in Jesus' name. We release the reign in Jesus' name of liberty, of freedom that sets the captives free, that sets us free, that we can liberate others as well. That we've been deputized to walk in that same Isaiah 61 anointing, binding up the brokenhearted, setting the captives free with the liberty from which we've been set free.
Yes.
I release that liberty.
Yes.
I release the freedom. I release the joy that comes with it. I release the peace that comes with it. I release the empowerment that comes with that liberty in Jesus' name. Liberty in your finances. Liberty in your emotions, liberty in your jobs, liberty in your marriages, liberty in your communications with others, with your relatives, liberty with those who have opposed you, liberty with your enemies, that you will set your enemies free because you're free. I loose the liberty to the enemies, those who have offended you, those who have come against you, those who have distracted you, those who have misled you. Those who have opposed you, I release you to be their liberty, their release in Jesus' name. And I loose you to walk in new freedom. I loose you to walk in new life. That this is a new era, the new year. This new Jewish Rosh Hashanah year is a year of freedom for the body of Christ. I loose it to Jubilee. I loose it to spread out from this church. In Jesus' name, release it. Release it in Jesus' name. Release it in Jesus' name. Release it in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Freedom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Ah, well, I can't think of a better way to end this. Turn around and say, we're going to have a year of freedom, and you are free, and go out in the love and mercies of God. Bless you on the internet. You are free indeed.